Hey, fantasy football owners, the road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster, wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah. Hour number three, we're rolling, baby. It is 8:06. Time check brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. It's the Bob Rose Show, along with Greg Cassidy, live and loco. It is also a Trash Talker Tuesday, thanks to Florence Recycling. And you know, you can follow the Bob Rose Show wherever you get your podcast. Just click subscribe. There's no fee, and you can access all of our great, great stuff, okay? Ooh. To keep you entertained at any time. It's accessible.
I like that.
I like that, too.
The way that sounds.
All right. Polling average. Harris has lower favorability rating than Biden. I mean, how do you do that?
You have to try hard.
She hasn't been out in public all that much. She hasn't done a whole lot. I mean, don't you have to at least do something that people can make a decision on? Hey, you suck. I mean, she's kind of, it's almost an automatic.
She's an overachiever.
They've got their work cut out for them to try to revamp, redo her. That's.
Well, are you going to redo how she speaks or who writes her speeches? Because that's the problem, is she has her word salads. And, I mean, even Saturday Night Live made fun of it. And when they did their little spoof and they did a split screen with her, you couldn't tell the difference.
Yeah, that's true. She'll have speech writers. Will they be the same ones that were writing for Biden? I don't know. I mean, is she going to continue down that same path of it's all about how evil Donald Trump is? He's going to be a dictator, or is she going to present any real ideas? You know, other than we're all going to die from climate change. I mean, see, that's the thing where the Trump campaign. I love how they call, the Trump people that, we are, like haters and stuff. It's like,
yeah.
You really don't really honestly know anything about it, do you?
No,
because
don't.
It's just the opposite of that. And it'll be interesting because Trump, amazingly uplifting, positive stuff he talks about, man. Drill, baby, drill. And see, the left doesn't get that.
No, they don't.
You know, they think that's a negative.
Mm-hmm.
But most people are like, no, I don't want the planet to, go up in smoke, but let's be realistic. I need to get to work every day. I need to get to work tomorrow and the next day. And I can't afford the electric cars they're shoving down our throats. Plus, they don't even have the charging stations, even if I could afford one.
Yeah.
So the economy, low energy prices, they really are extremely important to the health of our nation overall from an economic standpoint. And then you listen now under Biden, what's going on? This article points out that Americans are falling behind on their car payments. Car owners are having a hard time hanging on to their vehicles in the midst of an economic with an economy with soaring interest rates. According to Cox Automotive, the volume of repossessed vehicles at Manheim auctions, mm-hmm. these are the largest wholesale marketplace auctions.
Okay.
Repossessed vehicles, it's up 23% year over year.
That's huge. That is really huge.
They're also up 14% compared with the same period in 2019. While that's only one metric, Cox Automotive senior analyst Jeremy Robb told Fox Business that he also tracks defaults industry-wide using Equifax data. That data suggests that defaults are up 11% during the first half of the year compared with the same period of 2019. Lenders can repossess a vehicle when a loan is in default. Data from the Federal Reserve Bank of New York's latest quarterly tracking of American households and level of indebtedness also revealed that 4.4% of Americans' outstanding auto loan debt is in serious delinquency. Well, wow. Look, you have to be able to afford the car,
mm-hmm.
and you also have to be afford to put gas in it. Yes. I'm assuming the vast majority of these vehicles are gasoline-powered. If the price of gas goes down, it makes the ability to make that car payment a little bit easier. Because remember, It's called a budget. And there's only so much money coming in. And some people have been, you know, drawing from whatever little bit of savings they've had because the price of food's so high, the price of gas so high, the inflation. People are feeling the pain. And there's a certain point where you're going to get people who normally are in, you know, pretty decent economic shape. You're going to see even them start to falter a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Their purchasing power has pretty much gone out the window other than necessities now. You're going to see this turn, I think. Will they cut the rates? What will that do? You know, it's hard to tell. But during the first fiscal quarter of 2024, auto loan balances also increased by $9 billion and now stand at $1.62 trillion, according to the Fed. That's a lot of money.
That's a lot.
But experts are definitely putting at least part of the blame on the high interest rate environment. Today, the average new car loan interest rate is sitting at 7.9%. That's up from 4.1% in July of 21. And that's when they started raising the rates. So, yeah, we've talked so much about interest rates and home buyers and how tough it would be now. Hey, people that, you know, when the car is given out, you got to get another one. And you don't think about it. I didn't think about it as much. I mean, I knew I was going to pay a higher interest rate when I made a couple of purchases recently. But, you know, you look in the grand scheme of things, you're like, yeah, I mean, be okay. But that's, I bought both of my vehicles used.
And I was going to say, that's on top of the fact that cars cost more right now. If you look at the used cars, I mean, you're paying what we used to pay for a new car.
Well, that's
not that long ago.
Now, that's already started to, in my opinion, I know you're just like me, man. We can't help ourselves. We're always like shopping. Yeah. But I think that I think the used car market has moderated quite a bit.
From post-COVID.
When it was at its crazy
ridiculous
high.
And
based on these repossessions here, we might see the market dropping a little bit further. I mean, don't get too excited over it. But, yeah, you could see another drop. But I think both the, you know, buying the home and the vehicles, a lot is going to be on that interest rate coming down.
Forget what the number was. We did a story a while back on what the average new car payment is these days. And it was kind of blew your mind.
It's like $800 or something.
It was huge. It was up
and
there.
And then you got to pay for insurance on top of that. And, of course, you know, take care of the vehicle. And you got to put fuel in it.
Adds up.
And people usually, they don't want to lose their car. Because the car is almost always attached directly to the ability to get to work.
Well, that's why people who maybe aren't familiar, and you got to think it through, why interest rates are so much higher on boats, motorcycles, ATVs, is because they know, the people that lend you the money on these things, those are the first ones to go. You're going to make your house payment first. You're going to make your car payment. After that, the toys, sir, you know, that's kind of where that comes into play. There are higher risk for the people loaning the money.
The only caveat, the only outlier that doesn't agree with that.
What's
now,
that?
And this date is old.
Okay.
But it was when Harley started to their finance division.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Right.
And they gave loans to a lot of people who wouldn't qualify for diddly squat.
They were the Congress of 2008.
Well, what the thought was, and they had data to back it up.
Mm-hmm.
People will, Harley enthusiasts, will let a lot of things go before they fail to make payment on their bike.
That's true.
Now,
I can see that.
Now, I don't know if those numbers are the same as they were, say, you know, these are probably 20, 25 years ago. But, yeah, that's why they started it. And I think their finance division was making more than their production division for a while.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That's something to think about.
Yeah, it's difficult. I mean, people want the ability to pay their bills. Nobody likes that feeling hanging over their head. And some things you can control and some you can't.
Yeah.
Try to live below your means. That's coming from me.
I was going to say, who are you talking to in this room, Bob?
Well.
Yeah, I know. I know. We all know. We just don't all do.
Look. Yeah. My thing's always been, I want my family in a nice, safe home and take care of my kids and get them into and through college.
Yep.
I did that. And I always care. I don't care if I live in a Quonset hut.
There you go.
You know?
Yeah.
As long as no one's shooting at me, of course.
Well, there's that.
8:16 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Plenty more to talk about, including J.D. Vance. He was talking yesterday to a hometown crowd. I was impressed. We'll talk about that and more coming up on News Talk 97.3, The Sky.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive in the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning and welcome. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Hi, Greg.
Hey, Bob.
Your time check brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. Thanks for tuning in. Top story, Kamala has the delegates for the nomination. That is not a guarantee she will get the nomination. Big money players, big donors, many of them are not happy. Michael Bloomberg, who's worth like $100 billion, literally. Wow. And they've got like Morgan & Morgan, John Morgan. Those are just two examples of big money donors that are not going along with Kamala for president. Now, Nancy Pelosi appears to be all in.
Right.
She's given her endorsement. But, of course, anything can happen at the convention.
Yeah.
They've got now until the convention to kind of remake Kamala.
Mm.
It would probably be easier to do that if she were the president. In other words, if they could get Joe to step completely aside, then they would have time to redo her image and all that.
But you saying that comes to mind. If they didn't think at some point that Joe could run again, why haven't they been working on her already, getting ready?
Because she was never the one they wanted.
But they got her.
Right, but see, so, the whole time it was, they knew they could pull the plug on Joe almost any time, if they had to. Push comes to shove, but they knew it. But they didn't know how to get rid of her.
Right. Yeah.
And then they waited, and then time went on, and then they're kind of stuck, if you will.
Okay. I was curious what you thought on that.
Yeah, because no, she was never, that was not it. And I think that in the inner circles, they feel like she's controllable. From that aspect, that's great. But they just don't think she's electable.
Right.
Now, it doesn't matter how much power she's going to allow you to have as a shadow government if she doesn't get elected. It's meaningless.
Yeah, there's that.
So that's kind of so they are stuck. So something could happen between now and the convention.
So you're saying Kamala should look over her back.
Well, I didn't want to go there, but
the Clintons are for her, so that's to her advantage.
Well, that's what they say. Are you telling me that, you know, there's integrity in words and stuff coming out of Clinton's?
Okay, you got me there. Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
Another interesting thing. You remember all the airlines, a lot of them getting shut down, impacted, flights rescheduled, and it happened to banks and others. You know, we had this, our radio stations were affected, a lot of them.
Two blue screens in here. Yeah, it wasn't fun.
And there were some, I guess, in our company that weren't even on the air for a while.
Really?
Got them back pretty quick, but we stayed
we're
on.
Fortunate.
But yeah, and so CrowdStrike, now that should be a much more familiar term to us non-techie geeky nerds.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that with all due respect because I know you all make more money than I do.
That's true.
But CrowdStrike recently became the very single point of failure that its executives had warned against just weeks previous.
Really?
Yes. And this goes along with what I've been saying. Sometimes maybe you need to look outside the techie tech world because they always want to sell you the shiny new stuff. This will take, you won't have any labor costs. This will take the place of 4,700 humans. You know, they sell you, they hype you, they go, you got to have this. You got to stay up with it. Your competitor's going to have something like this soon. Uh-huh. Don't you want to be first? All that stuff, right? But it all comes down to this. What's your backup plan?
Mm.
What's your backup plan? What is that? What does a dad say to a kid? I'm going to be a professional kickboxer. Oh, that's great, son.
Okay.
And what's your backup plan? Well, the MMA is really coming. That's great, son. What's your backup plan?
Yeah. I'm going to be in radio.
What? You don't need a backup plan. You just need another job. So what's your paying job? What's the job that actually...
But that's a reasonable expectation. I mean, because we're all locked into all this digital stuff. We can't get away from it.
Well, what's your backup plan if your car dies?
Okay.
Roadside assistance.
Yep.
Maybe you carry a toolkit.
Sure.
Maybe you have some level of expertise. But I hope you have some kind of plan.
Yeah.
Some plan, mm-hmm. right? But all of your eggs are traveling on this internet basket. Mm-hmm. Everything you own, yeah. it's all out there. And you're relying on a single provider for critical IT functions. Single.
Right.
Where's the redundancy? I just remember I learned that word in radio.
Mm-hmm.
Redundancy. What's your backup? Where's your backup transmitter?
Right, because if this one goes down, you've got another one that you can put up, and within minutes, sometimes seconds, it's on the air.
If your STL, your microwave that shoots your signal to the tower, if that goes down, what's your backup? We've got high-speed phone lines.
Yep.
Okay.
You got backup.
You always do. Hey, what if the power goes out here? We've got a huge generator.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got this redundancy. And this company, CrowdStrike, was supposed to protect computers, was actually warning, hey, we can only do so much, but if there's no redundancy, then, you know, a lot of us are going to be dead in the water. And at that point, they never thought they would be the source of it.
Yeah.
As it turns out. But again, it's like having, you know, all your life paying into one stock. Ask the people who worked for Enron how that goes.
Yeah.
That's why you spread out your mm-hmm. risk. You mitigate that risk. Yeah, you maybe will never hit it super big or rich, but you'll have some steady growth. Well, you need to mitigate your risk when it comes to, you know, your computers, your files. If you're going to run everything on those things, it's imperative that you have all this control and oversight going on all the time. That's fine. That's a company's prerogative. But boy, you better have a backup plan when the stuff hits the fan.
Yeah.
And of course, there's a lot of stuff that's, you know, a lot more sensitive, if you will, than, you know, what we share, what we provide. I mean, you've got people's data on there. You know, who knows? Medical history. There's all kinds of stuff.
Banking, stocks.
Mm-hmm.
Their livelihood. Yeah.
I mean, there were, I know doctors' offices in the UK impacted because mm-hmm. of CrowdStrike and their breakdown. So, yeah, first of all, you don't want everybody to be on the same fix, right? The same defense, right? It's like saying, we got the best army ever. Well, yeah, but do you have an Air Force? Meh. What about a Navy? Meh. You got to cover all the bases, all the fronts.
It's
in this dynamic world where, first of all, you've got hackers. That's all they do day and night.
Yeah.
Day and night. Just trying to get in anywhere, somewhere.
And they're good. They're good.
Redundancy, backup plan. That's for everything. But certainly, if it is your corporate lifeblood, for crying out loud, you know, you better have a couple of pints of blood on a shelf. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm talking about? Mr. No Techie giving out tech advice.
Well, it's good advice.
You know why? Because it's based on what, Greg?
Logic.
God bless you.
There you go.
8:28 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Plenty more to talk about. Kamala, is she in or not? News Talk 97.3 The Sky. Another day the good Lord has given us. Do something positive. Yep. It's 8:34. You're tuned to the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Morning, Greg.
Good morning.
I don't really want to talk about Kamala Harris anymore.
Okay. What
I'm starting to get that throw up taste in my mouth. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, man.
I'm sorry.
That was your out loud voice.
Let's talk about phobias.
Oh, okay.
There's a lot of people that are afraid to fly.
That's interesting. Now, see, I don't like heights, but like getting in a commercial jet doesn't bother me a bit.
Yeah, but there is a lot of people that really, they do.
That's true.
Aerophobia, I guess some call it, but a terrified flyer has found a unique way to alleviate his fear and wants to help others, which means he wants to make money.
Oh.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
No. Right.
Brian Morris, Park City, Utah, created Flight Deck, Fear of Flying Flashcards.
Okay.
He was forced to face his severe fears when asked to officiate at his best friend's wedding in Florida. Mm-hmm. He looked for resources that would help him handle his fear of air travel and found an online course that gave him tips to alleviate aerophobia. One key takeaway was writing down the different procedures for flying and bits of information on small cards. I started using the 3x5 cards on the airplane, and it was helping me. I started to get requests from other people that wanted to use them. Aerophobia, common fear of flying, affects more than 25 million Americans.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yep. And he said pilots, flight attendants, and other passengers all took notice. Every time I got on the plane, I used the cards. Someone will ask me what I'm doing. Hey, I have a fear of flying, too, somebody would say. I started passing the cards around. Then he partnered with Captain Emma Henderson, served as a pilot for 30 years after she saw Morris using cards on a flight. And she's based in the north of Scotland. Yeah, I made sure the flashcards were technically correct in order to create a perfect fear of flying self-help tool.
Okay.
Yeah, it goes from the takeoff all the way to the landing. And a lot of these phobias, they trace them back to news stories about crashes, takeoff, landing, turbulence, things like that. And the cards share tidbits of information about the noises heard and the switches on the plane, almost like an owner's manual in a way.
I was going to say, I bet the noises are what gets to a lot of people. They're hearing, you know, the landing gear come up or the flaps are moving, and I could see that.
A deck of cards is priced at $18.95. Look, you're taking a flight. You're spending several hundred dollars at the very least.
Sure.
And if this can make your experience better or make it tolerable versus you don't want to fly at all,
right,
then that's a great idea. Mm. And hopefully, hopefully he will make some money off it. And hopefully this tool will be used to help other people, you know, overcome that fear.
Yeah, whatever works for folks.
I had no idea. I knew it was fairly common, but 25 million people, they guess, just in the United States, that's a lot.
It is.
Aerophobia.
See, my height thing is more like we have engineers who can climb towers. No stinking way.
Not me either.
No way. That kind of thing. Standing on the very top of a very, very, very tall building. Or you see these things that they do kind of like for fun, where there'll be like a glass bridge or a glass walkway on top of a skyscraper or that kind of thing? I don't think so. No, not at all.
You know what used to get me, but it doesn't bother me anymore, but it did for the longest time? A bridge with metal grates.
The kind of thing?
And you can see the water.
So you're looking through, yes.
Like I'm on a motorcycle.
And you're looking,
and I'm
you
looking
see the
down
water.
And I see the water. And I tell you what, the old Skyway bridge, the old one. Oh, that used to freak me out.
The thing with a Skyway style bridge is the when you're going up part, especially, and you're like looking into infinity, and it's like,
yeah, you don't see if there's even another side.
No, those get me. Yeah.
Well, and the fact that a ship hit it one time and there wasn't another side, and people
details.
Drove into the Tampa Bay.
Well, there's that
what
part.
That's like one of those things that you'd have a nightmare about, and then it really happens. You're like, holy cow. How many more of my nightmares are going to become reality?
Don't ask. Good. Could happen.
Hey, Senator J.D. Vance.
Yes.
Vice President. He's on the ticket to be VP.
We like him.
We do. Yeah, I like him. And the more I see him and hear him, I like him even more. He was doing an interview with somebody. And he said Kamala Harris owns all of the bad policies of the Biden administration, and so does any other plausible Democrat. So I really see that we're running against the entire Democratic Party apparatus. And that is good to position it that way, because that's what it is. It's not these individual personalities. Mm-hmm. It's the policies. The open border thing is a policy.
Right.
Wasn't Joe Biden woke up one day and goes, I think I'll open the border today.
No.
So when you look at it from that perspective, this also bodes well for down ticket. Wins, right?
Yeah.
In other words, you need a change. You need to get really the Dems out of there.
Yeah, this is your party, not just you.
Well, because it's all part of their policies.
Sure.
This is what they want. And trust me, they'll put you in a direction that'll take you even further to the left.
Uh-huh.
So then he, after this interview, he did a like a huge rally in Ohio. And I listened to some of it on the way home on Fox. And then when I got home, I watched some of it in person. And
I like it. I like what he has to say.
Yeah. He's very relaxed.
Yes.
For to have the composure, mm-hmm. you know, he's 39.
Yeah.
He has no issue whatsoever in dealing with a crowd. Now,
no.
In this case, it was a hometown crowd.
Okay.
And so, you know, they're all rooting for him anyway.
But we've seen him react, have a response comment to somebody in the crowd.
Yes.
Doesn't bother him a bit.
He's quick-witted, light on his feet.
Mm-hmm.
He knows how to relate to a crowd. I was very impressed.
Yep.
And a perfect balance. He even said a couple of things about Trump that they weren't disparaging,
mm-hmm.
but they're kind of like, it shows their relationship is already grown, and the fact that, you know, he made light of something that's like a Trumpism,
right.
and the crowd loved it. They laughed, and it's like, you know.
Yeah, we know.
Yeah. In other words, it was so genuine. It wasn't this fake, well, he's, you know, my boss or this or that. It wasn't like that at all. He was very chill, relaxed, having good, but relating to the people. He knows the struggles. He grew up in this, like, desolate. You talk about the Rust Belt?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what he grew up in, Middletown, Ohio. And that's where they had the rally there, and he graduated from high school there, and he even made reference to one of his teachers. He told a story about another, I think it was another teacher or something like that, and it was about a serious subject too. It was about a bomb threat.
Oh no!
And he said,
"Oh no!"
And he said, and the teacher went to the kid's locker that they suspected might have called it in. He just called it in because he didn't want to take a test by this really tough teacher,
mm-hmm.
and. And so they went right to his locker, opened it up, and apparently the principal, this guy is referring to, takes something out of the locker.
Right.
And throws it in the trash. He says, I know this kid. He is definitely not smart enough to make a bomb. Now, and the fire drill. Let's get back to class.
Wow.
And
wow, you can't do that kind of thing these days.
No. But he did it in That's a comfortable hilarious. Way, a fun way, a way that people could relate. I think he's going to be a big star. I mean, he's already a star, I guess you could say.
Well, it's funny.
He's
going to be a big star. Talking to somebody yesterday about him, and they're just kind of catching on about his background, or whatever. And I guess they were talking to a family member who's a little bit on the redneck side. I'm like, well, then he should love this guy. I'm like, what do you mean? I said, you got to go look at his past, look at where he's from, look at his book. Have your uncle watch the movie, whatever. There's probably a lot of relatability in there. It's like he knows what it's like to be a person with nothing, basically.
If you're willing to do just the smallest amount of homework, I mean, he calls himself a hillbilly. The name of his book is Hillbilly Elegy.
Exactly.
I mean, it's about his life and growing up in exactly that kind of situation. And look what a terrible situation you have. You've got alcohol and drug abuse all around you. Broken homes, busted homes all around you.
Yeah.
His grandparents raised him for a great extent of his life. That this was going, you know, this is the whole town is like that.
Yeah.
You know, they're all addicted to pain pills and whatever else, you know, they can get a hold of. And this guy was able to rise above that. And he gives a lot of credit to him.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Another day the good Lord has given us. Do something positive. Yep. It's 8:34. You're tuned to the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Morning, Greg.
Good morning.
I don't really want to talk about Kamala Harris anymore.
Okay.
What I'm starting to get that throw up taste in my mouth. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, man.
I'm sorry.
That was your out loud voice.
Let's talk about phobias.
Oh, okay.
There's a lot of people that are afraid to fly.
That's interesting. Now, see, I don't like heights, but like getting in a commercial jet doesn't bother me a bit.
Yeah, but there is a lot of people that really, they do.
That's true.
Aerophobia, I guess some call it, but a terrified flyer has found a unique way to alleviate his fear and wants to help others, which means he wants to make money.
Oh.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. Right.
Brian Morris, Park City, Utah, created Flight Deck, Fear of Flying Flashcards.
Okay.
He was forced to face his severe fears when asked to officiate at his best friend's wedding in Florida. He looked for resources that would help him handle his fear of air travel and found an online course that gave him tips to alleviate aerophobia. One key takeaway was writing down the different procedures for flying and bits of information on small cards. I started using the 3x5 cards on the airplane, and it was helping me. I started to get requests from other people that wanted to use them. Aerophobia, common fear of flying, affects more than 25 million Americans.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yep. Huh. And he said pilots, flight attendants, and other passengers all took notice. Every time I got on the plane, I used the cards. Someone will ask me what I'm doing. Hey, I have a fear of flying, too, somebody would say. I started passing the cards around. Then he partnered with Captain Emma Henderson, served as a pilot for 30 years after she saw Morris using cards on a flight. And she's based in the north of Scotland. Yeah, I made sure the flashcards were technically correct in order to create a perfect fear of flying self-help tool.
Okay.
Yeah, it goes from the takeoff all the way to the landing. And a lot of these phobias, they trace them back to news stories about crashes, takeoff, landing, turbulence, things like that. And the cards share tidbits of information about the noises heard and the switches on the plane, almost like an owner's manual in a way.
I was going to say, I bet the noises are what gets to a lot of people. They're hearing, you know, the landing gear come up or the flaps are moving, and I could see that.
A deck of cards is priced at $18.95. Look, you're taking a flight. You're spending several hundred dollars at the very least.
Sure.
And if this can make your experience better or make it tolerable versus you don't want to fly at all,
right,
then that's a great idea. Mm-hmm. And hopefully, hopefully he will make some money off it. And hopefully this tool will be used to help other people, you know, overcome that fear.
Yeah, whatever works for folks.
I had no idea. I knew it was fairly common, but 25 million people, they guess, just in the United States. That's a lot.
It is.
Aerophobia.
See, my height thing is more like we have engineers who can climb towers. No stinking way.
Not me either.
No way. That kind of thing. Standing on the very top of a very, very, very tall building. Or you see these things that they do kind of like for fun, where there'll be like a glass bridge or a glass walkway on top of a skyscraper or that kind of thing? I don't think so. No, not at all.
You know what used to get me, but it doesn't bother me anymore, but for the longest time? A bridge with metal grates.
The kind of thing?
And you can see the water.
Oh, so you're looking through, yes.
Like I'm on a motorcycle.
And you're looking,
and I'm
you
looking
see the
down,
water.
And I see the water, and I tell you what, the old Skyway bridge, the old one, it used to freak me out.
The thing with a Skyway style bridge is the when you're going up part, especially, and you're like looking into infinity, and it's like,
yeah, you don't see if there's even another side.
No, those get me. Yeah.
Well, and the fact that a ship hit it one time and there wasn't another side, and people drove into the Tampa Bay.
There's that
water
part.
That's like one of those things that you'd have a nightmare about, and then it really happens. You're like, holy cow! How many more of my nightmares are gonna become reality?
Don't ask. Could happen.
Hey, Senator J.D. Vance.
Yes.
Vice President. He's on the ticket to be VP.
We like him.
We do. Yeah, I like him. And the more I see him and hear him, I like him even more. He was doing an interview with somebody. And he said Kamala Harris owns all of the bad policies of the Biden administration, and so does any other plausible Democrat. I really see that we're running against the entire Democratic Party apparatus. And that is good to position it that way, because that's what it is. It's not these individual personalities. Mm-hmm. It's the policies. The open border thing is a policy.
Right.
Wasn't Joe Biden woke up one day and goes, I think I'll open the border today.
No.
So when you look at it from that perspective, this also bodes well for down ticket wins, right?
Yeah.
In other words, you need a change. You need to get really the Dems out of there.
Yeah, this is your party and not just you.
Well, because it's all part of their policies.
Sure.
This is what they want. And trust me, they'll put you in a direction that'll take you even further to the left.
Uh-huh.
So then he, after this interview, he did a like a huge rally in Ohio. And I listened to some of it on the way home on Fox. And then when I got home, I watched some of it in person. And
I like it. I like what he has to say.
Yeah. He's very relaxed.
Yes.
For to have the composure, mm-hmm. He's 39.
Yeah.
He has no issue whatsoever in dealing with a crowd. Now, in this case, it was a hometown crowd.
Okay.
And so, they're all rooting for him anyway.
But we've seen him react, have a response comment to somebody in the crowd.
Yes.
Doesn't bother him a bit.
He's quick-witted, light on his feet.
Mm-hmm.
He knows how to relate to a crowd. I was very impressed.
Yep.
And a perfect balance. He even said a couple of things about Trump that they weren't disparaging,
mm-hmm.
but they're kind of like, it shows their relationship is already grown, and the fact that he made light of something that's like a Trumpism,
right.
And the crowd loved it. They laughed, and it's like.
We know.
Other words, it was so genuine. It wasn't this fake, well, he's, my boss or this or that. It wasn't like that at all. He was very chill, relaxed, having good, but relating to the people. He knows the struggles. He grew up in this, desolate, you talk about the Rust Belt?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what he grew up in, Middletown, Ohio. And that's where they had the rally there, and he graduated from high school there, and he even made reference to one of his teachers. He told a story about another, I think it was another teacher or something like that, and it was about a serious subject too. It was about a bomb threat.
Oh no!
And he said, and the teacher went to the kid's locker that they suspected might have called it in. He just called it in because he didn't want to take a test by this really tough teacher,
mm-hmm.
and. And so they went right to his locker, opened it up, and apparently the principal, this guy is referring to, takes something out of the locker.
Right.
And throws it in the trash. He says, I know this kid. He is definitely not smart enough to make a bomb. Now, and the fire drill. Let's get back to class.
Wow.
And
you can't do that kind of thing these days.
No. But he did it in That's a comfortable hilarious. Way, a fun way, a way that people could relate. I think he's going to be a big star. I mean, he's already a star, I guess you could say.
Well, it's funny. Talking to somebody yesterday about him, and they're just kind of catching on about his background or whatever, and I guess they were talking to a family member who's a little bit on, I'll just put a little bit on the redneck side. I'm like, well, then he should love this guy. I'm like, what do you mean? I said, you got to go look at his past. Look at where he's from. Look at his book. Have your uncle watch the movie, whatever. There's probably a lot of relatability in there. It's like he knows what it's like to be a person with nothing, basically.
If you're willing to do just the smallest amount of homework, I mean, he calls himself a hillbilly. The name of his book is Hillbilly Elegy.
Exactly.
I mean, it's about his life and growing up in exactly that kind of situation. And look what a terrible situation you have. You've got alcohol and drug abuse all around you. Broken homes, busted homes all around you.
Yeah.
His grandparents raised him for a great extent of his life. That this was going, this is the whole town is like that.
Yeah.
They're all addicted to pain pills and whatever else, they can get a hold of. And this guy was able to rise above that. And he gives a lot of credit to a lot of other people. But he rose above it, and he joined the Marines. And he was smart enough to be able to parlay that into going to school. He graduated from Ohio State University in 2 years.
Yeah.
And then he went on to Yale. So
is that okay?
Here's what's going to happen. The left always, they'll take some characteristic and make a caricature out of it. So if it works for them to say, he's like a Richie Rich Snooty kid from Yale, they'll attempt to use that.
Right.
And it wouldn't be a lie that he went there. He did. But if they pretend like he's some kind of silver spoon kid, nothing could be further from the truth.
No.
So, yeah. I mean, he calls himself a hillbilly. That's why,
I love it.
It's going to take a convict and a hillbilly to save this here nation.
Mm-hmm.
And you throw in the Hulkster and a Kid Rock to boot.
Oh, yeah.
I think our chances are good, people.
Probably so.
Chances are good the red, white, and blue still be flying. But you better pray for it, and you better act on it, and you better vote. 8:45 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here, and you're listening to 97.3 The Sky. Good morning and welcome. You're tuned to the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here, and it's a Trash Talking Tuesday, thanks to our friends at Florence Recycling. Don't forget, you can follow the Bob Rose Show wherever you get your podcasts. Click subscribe. There's no charge, but you can access all of the episodes immediately. And we've had some good ones. We'll continue to have some very good ones. Elon Musk in the news. Several reasons. His truck, you know, the it's outpacing now the F-150 Lightning.
Really?
Yeah, those numbers are from May, and
That's surprising.
Yeah. And he's in the news for other reasons. And one of them is, Musk says trans child was figuratively killed by the woke mind virus. And he vows to destroy it. He said, my son is dead. Musk said he wasn't informed that puberty blockers are actually just sterilization drugs when he was tricked into giving consent. Did you know that? The puberty blocker acts in that way? I didn't know that. It sterilizes the child? I thought it just pushed off puberty, held it at bay temporarily.
Hmm.
Tesla and SpaceX CEO Elon Musk said he was tricked into giving consent for his child to go on puberty blockers. He thinks the woke mind virus figuratively killed his son. Musk made the comment in an interview with Dr. Jordan Peterson on Monday after he was asked about his thoughts on doctors performing sex change procedures on children, a practice both Musk and Peterson described as evil. Musk said that his experience with his child Xavier, who goes by Vivian Jenna Wilson, opened his eyes to what he called the woke mind virus.
Ooh.
And he has since vowed to destroy it.
Wow.
It happened to one of my older boys, where I was essentially tricked into signing documents for Xavier. This is before I had any understanding of what was going on. COVID was going on, so there was a lot of confusion. I was told Xavier might commit suicide. If he didn't get the stuff.
They go down that road.
Yep.
They do.
He said that was a lie right from the outset.
Wow.
Actually, Peterson said that. But Musk responded, incredibly evil. I agree with you that the people that have been promoting this should go to prison. Musk said that it wasn't explained to him that puberty blockers are actually just sterilization drugs. When he gave his consent for his son to undergo treatment, he called the term gender-affirming care.
That's what they call it.
A terrible euphemism.
Yeah.
And they do that, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
Family planning.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you come in here, you ain't planning to have a family today, are you?
No.
I lost my son, essentially. They call it dead naming for a reason. I'm not familiar with that. Dead naming? Is that term sound
I've
familiar?
I've heard the phrase, yep.
Okay. The reason it's called dead naming is because your son is dead. Mm-hmm. My son Xavier is dead. Killed by the woke mind virus. In other words, what he thinks, you know, was his son no longer exists.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I never really thought about it like that. Puberty blockers have been shown to cause long-term fertility problems in boys. A preprint study from Mayo Clinic concluded earlier this year. The study found that puberty blocker impacts may be permanent, disputing claims that such effects can be reversed.
Mm.
And after an extended pause, Musk said when he was speaking to this Dr. Peterson, I vowed to destroy the woke mind virus after that. Vivian Musk came out as transgender June of 2022, around the same time the then 18-year-old filed a request to change names from Xavier to Vivian and take her mother's last name, according to the Daily Mail. I no longer want to be related to my biological father in any way, shape, or form, Vivian said at the time. You know, here's what a lot of people don't understand. The kids that get sucked into this are kids that are going through all kinds of emotional turmoil. And let's say maybe they try to treat it with an antidepressant, or they try some other sort of therapy. They do whatever. And the kid doesn't seem to be, you know, reacting well. It's not it's not working out or whatever. So then somebody with this great, bright idea in their minds will go, well, you know what? We've seen this before, and you know what? You're probably supposed to be born a girl.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why you're having all these inner conflicts. Tell that to a confused teenager or preteen.
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
I mean, they already, they don't know who they are.
Mm-hmm.
So, how did we get this far down this sick road?
Oh.
And there's a lot of people in denial that, they don't do those radical mastectomies that you mentioned.
Yeah, they do.
I said, you want some documents?
I got
Johns Hopkins. These are not like no-name little hospitals in the outer neck of the woods. These are major medical facilities.
My cousin's daughter, who is no longer a daughter.
Well, there you go.
So there you go.
This is the final straw, Musk wrote on X, and explaining his decision. Because of this law and many others that preceded it, attacking both families and companies, SpaceX will now move its headquarters from Hawthorne, California, to Starbase, Texas. Starbase, Texas.
Like a new series, Starbase.
Starbase, Texas. Where?
Yes.
The barbecue is out of this world. Woo!
Wow. There you go.
I could market anything, couldn't I?
Just about. I'm telling you. Barbecue sounds good about that.
Senator J.D. Vance told Breitbart Monday Democrat elites ousting President Joe Biden as their party's presidential nominee 100 days before the election is insanely anti-democratic and quite dark. And he points out, just like I think you were talking about earlier, Greg, that they say, you know, every vote counts and can't have disenfranchised vote. But
yeah,
you're going to have. But if Kamala runs, she wasn't elected president to begin with.
And they basically put Biden in.
And then if they go around her, then nobody has really spoken other than the delegates.
Yeah.
And so you're going to let them choose your candidate, not your entire party. Yeah.
Seeing a pattern here, you know? Kind of funny how that works.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The pattern is one of complete inconsistency. That's their pattern.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. We're approaching, 8:56 on the Bob Rose Show. We still got the 9 o'clock stretch to go. So we got stories, headlines. It's all coming your way. Don't go anywhere. You're tuned to News Talk 97.3 The Sky, or you can download the Audacy app, AUDACY, and get us there as well. Good morning and welcome. You're tuned to the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here, and it's a Trash Talking Tuesday, thanks to our friends at Florence Recycling. Don't forget, you can follow the Bob Rose Show wherever you get your podcasts. Click subscribe. There's no charge, but you can access all of the episodes immediately. And we've had some good ones. We'll continue to have some very good ones. Elon Musk in the news. Several reasons. His truck, you know, the it's outpacing now the F-150 Lightning.
Really?
Yeah, those numbers are from May, and
that's surprising.
Yeah, and he's in the news for other reasons, and one of them is Musk says trans child was figuratively killed by the woke mind virus, and he vows to destroy it. He said, "My son is dead." Musk said he wasn't informed that puberty blockers are actually just sterilization drugs when he was tricked into giving consent. Did you know that? The puberty blocker acts in that way? I didn't know that. It sterilizes the child? I thought it just pushed off puberty, held it at bay temporarily. Tesla and SpaceX CEO Elon Musk said he was tricked into giving consent for his child to go on puberty blockers. He thinks the woke mind virus figuratively killed his son. Musk made the comment in an interview with Dr. Jordan Peterson on Monday after he was asked about his thoughts on doctors performing sex change procedures on children, a practice both Musk and Peterson described as evil. Musk said that his experience with his child Xavier, who goes by Vivian Jenna Wilson, opened his eyes to what he called the woke mind virus. Ooh. and he has since vowed to destroy it.
Wow.
It happened to one of my older boys, where I was essentially tricked into signing documents for Xavier. This is before I had any understanding of what was going on. COVID was going on, so there was a lot of confusion. I was told Xavier might commit suicide if he didn't get the stuff.
They go down that road.
Yep.
They do.
He said that was a lie right from the outset.
Wow.
Actually, Peterson said that. But Musk responded, incredibly evil. I agree with you that the people that have been promoting this should go to prison. Musk said that it wasn't explained to him that puberty blockers are actually just sterilization drugs. When he gave his consent for his son to undergo treatment, he called the term gender-affirming care.
That's what they call it.
A terrible euphemism.
Yeah.
And they do that, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
Family planning.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you come in here, you ain't planning to have a family today, are you?
No.
I lost my son, essentially. They call it dead naming for a reason. I'm not familiar with that. Dead naming? Is that term sound
I've
familiar?
I've heard the phrase, yep.
Okay. The reason it's called dead naming is because your son is dead. Mm-hmm. My son Xavier is dead. Killed by the woke mind virus. In other words, what he thinks, you know, was his son
is
no longer exists.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I never really thought about it like that. Puberty blockers have been shown to cause long-term fertility problems in boys. A preprint study from Mayo Clinic concluded earlier this year, the study found that puberty blocker impacts may be permanent, disputing claims that such effects can be reversed.
Mm.
And after an extended pause, Musk said when he was speaking to this Dr. Peterson, I vowed to destroy the woke mind virus after that. Vivian Musk came out as transgender June of 2022, around the same time the then 18-year-old filed a request to change names from Xavier to Vivian and take her mother's last name, according to the Daily Mail. I no longer want to be related to my biological father in any way, shape, or form, Vivian said at the time. You know, here's what a lot of people don't understand. The kids that get sucked into this are kids that are going through all kinds of emotional turmoil. And let's say maybe they try to treat it with an antidepressant, or they try some other sort of therapy. They do whatever. And the kid doesn't seem to be, you know, reacting well. It's not working out or whatever. So then somebody with this great, bright idea in their minds will go, well, you know what? We've seen this before. And you know what? You're probably supposed to be born a girl.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why you're having all these inner conflicts. Tell that to a confused teenager or preteen.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
I mean, they already, they don't know who they are.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, this how did we get this far down this sick road?
Oh.
And there's a lot of people in denial that, they don't do those radical mastectomies that you mentioned.
Yeah, they do.
I said, you want some documents?
I got
Johns
one of my-
Hopkins? These are not, like, no-name little hospitals in the outer neck of the woods. These are major medical facilities.
My cousin's daughter, who is no longer a daughter.
Now, there you go.
So there you go.
This is the final straw, Musk wrote on X in explaining his decision. Because of this law and many others that preceded it, attacking both families and companies, SpaceX will now move its headquarters from Hawthorne, California to Starbase, Texas.
Starbase.
Starbase, Texas.
Like a new series, Starbase.
Starbase. Starbase, Texas, where
yes,
the barbecue is out of this world. Woo!
Wow. There you go.
I could market anything, couldn't I?
Just about, I'm telling you. Barbecue sounds good about that.
Senator J.D. Vance told Breitbart Monday, Democrat elites ousting President Joe Biden as their party's presidential nominee 100 days before the election is insanely anti-democratic and quite dark. And he points out, just like I think you were talking about earlier, Greg, that so they say, you know, every vote counts and mm-hmm. can't have disenfranchised vote. But
yeah,
you're going to have. But if Kamala runs,
mm-hmm.
she wasn't elected president to begin with.
And they basically put Biden in.
And then if they go around her,
yeah.
then nobody has really spoken other than the delegates.
Yeah.
And so you're going to let them choose your candidate, not your entire party. Yeah.
Seeing a pattern here, you know? Kind of funny how that works.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The pattern is one of complete inconsistency. That's their pattern.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, we're approaching, what, 8:56 on the Bob Rose Show. We still got the 9 o'clock stretch to go. So we got stories, headlines. It's all coming your way. Don't go anywhere. You're tuned to News Talk 97.3 The Sky, or you can download the Audacy app, A-U-D-A-C-Y, and get us there as well.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive in the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Audacy app or wherever you get your podcasts.